Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you are. And I'm going to turn down this recording level just a little bit as it's maxing out, so bear with me just for a moment. There, I think that's better. All right. Shalom Aleichem, Assalamu Aleichem, Namaste, Pak Satnam, Sat Sri Akal, Tashi Dalek, Ho Lila Tanya Wase Yanke. I've just said, just given you greetings in nine different languages. Why nine languages, one might ask? Well, nine is the number of eternal return. It's a number held sacred by various cultures at different times. And what comes to mind just off the top of my head here is it's the sacred number of the Nordic mythologies and Nordic religions, number nine. Okay. Welcome to this shiur. Shiur is a Hebrew word for class, or like as in class of instruction. And so welcome to this shiur. And welcome to all those who are here now, and also to those who will be hearing this later this evening as we rebroadcast it at 10 p.m. Eastern, same place, same room. And also to those who will be hearing it as they download it from our website. We are currently working on a page where we will be placing the recorded versions, audio recordings of these shiurim on our website at universalsabbateanchurch.org, and you'll be able to access them at any time you wish, which will be of great convenience for those unable to attend at the times that we give them live. But we do welcome those who come to these live and appreciate your presence. Now then, as we always do, I will start this shiur by reciting the Kaddish for the Dead and the Mourners of the Dead. If you'll close your eyes and listen to these words. Yiskadal v'yishkadash smeirabo, bolmo divro kirose, v'yamlik melkose, b'kaya konu v'yo mekon, u'v'kaya dekol beis Yisrael, ba'agalo u'vizman koreyev, Veimru omen. Yehe shmei rabo mevorak, leolam ulome omayo. Yisbarak v'yistabak, v'yisparar v'yisromam, v'yisnase v'yishadar v'yisale v'yishalal. Shmeidu kasho beriku. Leolo minko berkoso v'shiroso. Tushbikoso v'nekemoso. Da'amiron be'omo ve'imro omen. Yehe shlomo rabo min shemayo. Ve'kayim aleinu ve'alkol Yisrael ve'imru omen. Ose shalom bimromov. Huyashe shalom. Aleinu ve'alkol Yisrael ve'imru omen. Thank you. And one moment, I'm going to close this window where we're getting some noise. So I'll pause this just for a second, close the window, and be right back. All right, I'm back. For those of you who don't know, I broadcast these, I teach these, teach and record and broadcast these shiurim out of my study at my home. So being summer, I have the window here, the slider open all the way to keep some fresh air coming through here, so it's not quite so hot or stuffy. But unfortunately, we pick up some noise sometimes. All right, so we've been talking about Torah in the last few of our shiurim. And I'm going to continue with that. Actually, we'll continue with that for some time because the subject is rather inexhaustible. I'm going to summarize just a little bit what we said yesterday and use that to set up and move into where we will continue with new material today. So in our last two classes, in summarized form, we taught that there are two Torahs, a Torah de Atzilut and a Torah de Beriah. The Torah de Atzilut is the spiritual Torah of emanation or nearness. Nearness to what? Nearness to God. It's the first Torah that was given to Moses, the first time he went up on Mount Sinai. It was written by God personally with his own finger. It consisted only of one commandment only, as is recorded in Jeremiah 7, chapter 7, verse 23, which is, "Listen to my voice, and I will be your God, and you will be my people." So this is why we call this the spiritual Torah, the Torah of emanation, of nearness. Ringing phone, I just turned it off. By nearness, we mean, if you look at what it says here, "Listen to my voice, and I will be your God, and you will be my people." Well, this is nearness to God. God is saying here that he will instruct, if you listen for his voice, he will instruct each person individually, personally. He will speak inside your mind and in your heart. You will know what to do. He will give you instruction. But, as we all know, the sin of the golden calf showed to Moses and to God that the people were not yet ready for a spiritual Torah. So Moses broke the tablets, and that Torah was taken back. That testimony was recalled. Moses went back up on the mountain, and he received the second Torah, the Torah de Berea, the physical Torah of remaking. This is the rules-based Torah we know today, consisting of instruction to purify and perfect God's people, so that someday they will be worthy to receive the spiritual Torah de Atzilut. So Moses comes down, he finds them in revelry and sin, worshiping false gods. He breaks the tablets, goes back up there, and God says, "You did right to break the tablets." And this time he dictates a new set of rules, a new set of laws to Moses. Instead of writing them with his own finger on the tablets, he dictates them to Moses. And Moses, using, a hammer and a stone chisel, pecks out the Decalogue on the two tablets, because that's all the more that's going to fit on two tablets. And he's up there for 40 days, and he gives him the Decalogue and the 613 mitzvot, known as referred to by Jews just as the law. Mitzvot means laws, or it's also called the Mosaic Code, just by people in general, Mosaic Code. And as what this Decalogue and 613 mitzvot were to do was to purify and perfect God's people so that they would someday be worthy to once again receive the spiritual Torah de Atzilut. Okay, we learned also that there are two forms of the written Torah, of the Torah de Berea. Two forms, a written Torah and an oral Torah. The written Torah, which is symbolized in the diagram of the Ten Sefirot, which is a diagram of God's supernal form, the Godhead, is Sefirah Teferet, Lev, the heart. Okay, and the written Torah consists of, it's what we generally call the Old Testament in the Bible, consists of the first five books, that were the books of Moses, called the Pentateuch in Greek. The following set of books called the Wisdom Books, Hagiographia, and following that are the books of various prophets. So that's what the written Torah is. It is an abbreviated form of the Torah. This is important to understand now. The written Torah, the Old Testament, is not all of the Torah there is. It's an abbreviated shorthand version of the complete Torah. The rest of it is in the oral Torah. Okay? The written Torah is, as we said, symbolized by Sephira Teferet, which is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which in Hebrew means the Holy One, blessed be He, and is also known as the Bridegroom. Now, the oral Torah is the other form of the Torah de Bria, the physical Torah of remaking, the oral Torah. It's the expanded version of the abbreviated form, the written Torah. It contains the explanation, the elaboration, further facts and further more elaborate history, and the mystical teachings that God wants us to know as His people. This was given to Moses on Sinai at the same time as the written Torah. And the oral Torah is symbolized, whereas the written Torah is symbolized by Sephira Teferet, HaKodesh Baruch Hu, the Holy One, blessed be He, the Bridegroom, the oral Torah is symbolized by Sephira Malkut, which is also known as the Shekinah, God's presence, and also known as the Fallen Bride. So we have here a complementary, as in filling out as two parts of a whole, complementary set of two parts of a whole. The written Torah is kind of the male part, the Holy One, blessed be He, the Bridegroom, Sephira Teferet, and the oral Torah is the female part, the Sephira Malkut, which is Shekinah, God's feminine side, God's presence, the fallen bride. Now, when God gave Moses the Torah, and I'm talking about now the second Torah, the Torah de Berea, the second time he was up on the mountain, the Decalogue was inscribed on two tablets. Moses did this. The rest of the written Torah, and you may be wondering about this, well, you just said that the written Torah consisted of the Decalogue and the books of wisdom and the books of prophecy. And so if he wrote down only the Decalogue on the two tablets, what happened to, and how did we get the other two, which are by far greater parts of the written Torah? Meaning the Pentateuch, the first five books, the books of wisdom, and the books of prophecy. Well, that was written by God in Moses' memory banks so that he could write them down later. And, of course, that's what the first five books is, what Moses wrote down as the Pentateuch, and the rest was handed down to others and or revealed by God to the prophets. But he did reveal it also to Moses. All of this was revealed at this time to Moses. Now, we say here that when Moses received the Torah, he received both the written Torah and the oral Torah. Now, the oral Torah was a divine being. A divine being. It wasn't just a bunch of words. It was the Shekinah who inhabited Moses' body and mind. How do we know this? Well, first of all, our sages teach us that the 10th Sephira, Malkut, Shekinah, symbolizes the oral Torah. That's what Kabbalah teaches us. And this goes back to the earliest times. And where did they get it? They ultimately got it from Moses, who passed it on to Joshua, who passed it on to the elders, who passed it on to the Great Assembly, who passed it on to the students of the various circles of great teachers, as they who are known now as the sages, down through history. Okay, so we know this because we are told so, because God told it to Moses, Moses to Joshua, etc. Okay, secondly, how else do we know it? Well, there's physical evidence of it. That's right, physical evidence that the Shekinah is a divine being or force that inhabited Moses' body and mind. The light of the Shekinah shone forth. This evidence is that the light in the form of a light that shone forth from Moses' face. And I'm going to read briefly here. It bears repeating. And it will be good for you to hear this again if you've heard this before. Because every time we read Torah, we draw down upon us the highest influence that of God. And we draw it down, and it has an influence upon our soul. Okay, so Exodus chapter 34, between 29 and 35, I'm going to read. Here's what it says. And it came to pass, when Moses came down from Mount Sinai with the two tablets of testimony in Moses' hand, when he came down from the mount, that Moses knew not that the skin of his face shone while he talked with him. Meaning, while God talked with Moses, Moses was unaware of the fact that his face was shining, that the skin of Moses' face was shining. Verse 30, and when Aaron, Moses' brother, who God made as a priest to Moses, and in fact is the first of all of the Kohanim, meaning actual priests in the house of Israel, and when Aaron and all the people of Israel saw Moses, behold, the skin of his face, Moses' face, shone, and they were afraid to come closer to him. And Moses called to them, and Aaron and all the rulers of the congregation returned to him, and Moses talked with them. And afterward all the people of Israel came near, and he gave them in commandment all that the Lord had spoken with him in Mount Sinai. Verse 33. And when Moses had finished speaking with them, he put a veil on his face. This is because his face was shining, and it was disturbing all the people. It was a great distraction, I can imagine, as well as being a source of fear. Verse 34, but when Moses went in before the Lord, went in where? Into the tabernacle, into the sukkot, the tent, tent that God, after he came down from Sinai with the Decalogue, with the Torah, the very next thing God did was command him to build a dwelling place for God, a house for God. And that was this mobile tent that they could put up and take down as they needed, as they moved through in their journeys for the next 40 years. It was, Moses called it the Tent of Meeting. So it says here in verse 34, Exodus 34:34. But when Moses went in to the tent of meeting before the Lord to speak with him, then he took the veil off until he came out. Now, why would he take the veil off while he's speaking with God? Well, because what's shining out of his... Number one, God's not going to be afraid of anything that exists that he's created. Number, and there is nothing other than God anyway. So there's no danger of God being taking affront or being afraid of this servant of his coming before him in the Holy of Holies and his face shining. So that's out of the way. Secondly, though, and the real reason he took the veil off is because the light that's shining out of him, this radiance, is the Shekinah. And so he took the veil off so that the Shekinah could be face to face with the other part of God that was in the tent with which he spoke. And who was that? That was Tiferet. Sephira Tiferet, HaKodesh Baruch Hu, the Holy Bridegroom. The Holy One, blessed be He. So we have in the tent, in the Holy of Holies, waiting for Moses to come before him and to bring with him. And this is what Moses was really doing, was bringing into the Holy Bridegroom the fallen bride, the Shekinah, male waiting to see female, and Moses bringing her in. And so he took the veil off. And so he thus presented the Shekinah to the Holy One, blessed be He. And then they would relate to one another, and Moses would receive instructions for the people and as to how he should lead them, what he should do next. And then it says, continuing here in verse 34, and he came out and spoke to the people of Israel that was which he was commanded. Verse 35, and the people of Israel saw the face of Moses, that the skin of Moses' face shone. And Moses put the veil upon his face again until he went in to speak with him, meaning with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now Moses' face shone because God gave him the Oral Torah, which is a living divine being, the Shekinah, God's presence on earth. This light that is given off by the Shekinah is called elsewhere in the teachings God's Kavod, K-A-V-O-D. K-A-V as in Victor, O-D as in David, which means glory. And we've heard that phrase thrown around with respect to God all over the place. God's glory, His glorious kingdom, the glory of His name, God's glory. Well, this is the light that's radiated by the Shekinah. And it cannot be contained. It is divine. It is supernal. It pours out of Moses' face and anyone else's upon whom the Shekinah is bestowed. In medieval paintings, we see this light, the light of God's glory, in the form of halos around the heads of the saints, depicted in the paintings. Also, in modern days, we have the same phenomenon being reported about Carl G. Jung, the 20th century avatar mystic and Swiss psychologist. James Kirsch, well, I get this from my teacher, Reb Yaakov Leib HaKohen, who was a disciple, meaning this is, means student, a student of James Kirsch, K-I-R-S-C-H, James Kirsch. James Kirsch was one of Jung's original circle of disciples or students. He was the first Jewish disciple that Jung had, and who passed along the information about Kabbalah to Jung. So my teacher told me that James Kirsch told him that one day, and by the way, James Kirsch is the founder of, at Jung's personal authorization commission request, of the first Jungian center in the United States, and from which all other Jungian centers in the United States have arisen. It was James Kirsch who came out and started the first one with Jung's authorization, blessing, and request. So anyway, James Kirsch told my teacher, who told me, that one day back in Switzerland at Jung's residence, James and Jung's secretary went to Jung's study to talk to him about some matter. And they knocked on the door, no answer. They quietly opened it and looked in. Jung was sitting in his chair, meditating with his head back on the headrest, his face to the ceiling. His face was radiating an intense light. this intense shining of light was coming out of his face. James Kirsch and Jung's secretary placed a cloth napkin over Jung's face and then retired, backed out of the room, closed the door quietly, did not disturb him in his meditations. Well, this is the parallel here to Moses. They placed a napkin over his face, just as Moses placed a napkin over his face when he wasn't in the tabernacle to meet with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This light coming out of Jung's face was the light of the Shekinah, the light of God's glory. Baruch Hashem. Okay, so we know that God gave the Torah to Moses, who gave it to man. And as I believe we discussed this last time, I'll mention it briefly. As we know, before he gave this Torah to Moses, he asked all the other 70 nations whether they would accept the Torah and keep it, preserve it, practice it. Now, the 70 nations I'm referring to are the 70 nations that came into existence at the time of the Great Dispersion. You are familiar with your Bible stories or know about the Tower of Babel, when it was just a terrible time in which man was so arrogant that he decided that he could build a tower that reached up to heaven, that they could ascend and be on the same level as God. So up to that time, all of the people of the world, all the descendants of the three sons of Noah, spoke the same language. And there were 70 of them. 70 of them. And they spoke the same language. But God decided he didn't like what was going on, so he caused them to all speak different languages, which meant that they could no longer work together building the Tower of Babel, but also meant they couldn't do anything together, so they diverged and dispersed over the face of the earth. Now, this is the 70 nations referred to. Any time that you see in the Bible the word nations, that's what this is a reference to, is all of the people who were not the Israelites, not the descendants of Jacob. Okay? And the 70 nations were all given a chance. I guess this would be Gentiles. We could just generally sum it up and say Gentile. A Gentile is any person who is not a Jew. Okay, so all of the Gentile nations, a representative was given the chance by a messenger from God to accept the Torah, and each of those representatives rejected it, and therefore it fell to the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, who is Israel, to accept it. And that's why this was given to Moses. Okay, so now let's begin to look at what is this Torah? What is it that God gave to man? Okay, Kabbalists believe that the Torah embodies three principles. First, the Torah is a living organism. It's a divine being, as we've just talked about, the first creation of God, pre-existing anything else besides God. Okay, so before God made anything else, he made the Torah. Secondly, the Torah constitutes the complete mystical name of God. So the Torah, the written Torah that you look at, consists of sentences and words. From the first letter to the last, the Torah is the revelation of God's mystical name. Third principle of Kabbalah with respect to the Torah, it is divine speech. Therefore, in other words, this is actually God's words that came out of the equivalent of a mouth for God. God doesn't have a physical body, but it's divine speech. It's the holy tongue. It's composed of the letters of the Aleph Bet, the 22 letters of Hebrew, the holy tongue. But it's divine speech. Therefore, every sentence, word, and letter are infinitely significant. And nothing that man can say about it, using human comprehension and human speech, can begin to exhaust its meaning, because it's divine and infinite in its meanings. Well, we'll have time just to look at this first aspect today. We'll do this quickly. We'll get this started. So what is the Torah? First thing it is that we talked about is it's a living being, the embodiment of wisdom and understanding. And it existed before the creation of the world. Okay? How do we know this? Well, again, because oral Torah teaches this. The Babylonian Talmud, in a section called Pesachim 54a, says the following. And this is all we'll have time for, so we'll just get started on this today. Quote, it has been taught, colon, here's what has been taught. Seven things were created before the world was created. They are these: Torah and repentance, the Garden of Eden and Gehenna, the throne of glory, and the house of the sanctuary, and the name of the Messiah. Now, I will leave you with that as a teaser for our next shiur, where we will take off from here. Our next shiur will be Monday at 7 p.m., same time, 7 p.m. Eastern time, same place. This room, Beit HaMidrash, on Paltalk in the religion and spirituality category and the interfaith subcategory. And I hope to see you there. And if you like what you've heard and it stirs something in your heart, then come back and tell your friends, your relatives, and who might be interested, and bring them with you. And that is all we have for today. I part by telling you to remember God as much as you can, but at least twice a day. For each time you remember God, you comfort Him, and you also draw an influence down into you. So remember God, and go from strength to strength. Amen, v'amen. Sei gesund.